tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Paul, and welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. You can speak to Emma, 1800 938 007. Some notes I had that I mislaid while I was talking to Helen England about that report from the WHO. It's sobering, if you forgive the awful pun, when you read that in 2016, and these are worldwide figures, so the last figures available were from 2016, alcohol deaths, 3 million deaths worldwide. Can you believe it? 3 million deaths, 5.3% of all deaths back in 2016. So 3 million deaths. So it's over. Now, you know, I feel like a right hypocrite talking about this because, you know, it's the Irish euphemism. I enjoy a couple of drinks myself and a few glasses of wine and all of that. But it is scary when you think about it like that, isn't it? Anyway, what do you think about that? 083-311-3311. Now we continue with our series, Walks and Talks, with the great John G. O'Dwyer. All right, John, where are we?
Well, this time I know where we are. we're in Kilcooley, and I suppose it's one of the hidden gems of County Tipperary. And you notice as we're at the great gates here, and you notice as we, what did you notice on our right-hand side as we were coming down along the road there?
There was a hell of a wall,
exactly. Yeah. That wall goes the whole way around the estate, which is 1,250 acres, and it goes the whole way around it. You say, you know, what is that to keep the peasants out? Well, not really. The Ponsonbys actually, during the famine, were quite generous towards their peasants. And what they did was, they made every effort to provide work for them. Now, you wouldn't give them charity in those days. So what they did was, they sold their jewellery so that the peasants could work and could build that wall. And the local people were always grateful to them. And now, it's not the longest wall in Ireland. That's the mountain, the Mourne Wall, which is a mountain wall up in the north of Ireland, but is one of the longest estate walls in Ireland, and a very impressive, and goes all the way around. So I suppose it was conceived in philanthropy. And then we're at the great gates here, and of course you had to have, this was the typical thing of at the time, you had to have this great sweeping driveway which led up to the house. So it was all about style, and they all tended to ape each other. And when we go up along here further, we'll see, did you ever hear a fella called Capability Brown?
No.
Did you not? Well, that's because he never came to Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why he was never in Ireland. But he was very famous as a landscape gardener, Lancelot Brown. Never came to Ireland, but all the great houses, including these, were influenced by his work. And he moved away. He wanted a more naturalistic way of doing things. So he moved away, you know, from all those kind of manicured lawns, yeah, to the great parklands. You'll know it now when I describe it. And the great sweeping lawns that went down always to a lake in front of the house. And then even then, the great sweeping parkland, how did you do that? Because we had to have the animals there and that, they come in around the house. You actually always had a sunken wall that kept them out as well. So we'll be seeing more of the features. He was never in Ireland, but the great Emo Court and we'll say Donnerail Court and that were hugely influenced by him. But nearly every house in Ireland in the 18th century was influenced by his work in England. We'll be rambling on.
Let's
up the
it.
Avenue.
Let's do it.
This is the Church of Ireland Church. And, you know, they're always beautiful. Look at the beautiful setting that's around it. And it's not, you know, it's beautifully set into the landscape.
Well,
and it's not
simple,
a bit ostentatious.
It's just beautifully simple.
And every 2 weeks, I think, they have service here. So it continues on. And, of course, they're a small community, so they tend to be a very close community as well as that. So, you know, it's wonderful. Of course, this would originally then have been park. We'll talk more about that, of the Barker Ponson, the estate, which was here. Nearly every estate came with a church as well. So it's beautiful.
And is that a direct link to the estate, then?
Yeah, there are walls that are all around the estate. Yeah. Yes, that's probably enclosing the walled garden there.
Yes.
Now, you know, things have moved on a a lot, but yeah, all these estates were, you know, meticulous. You know, the owners took great pride in them, and they would have seen, of course, these were mostly ascendancy people who came in from England, and mainly it was actually a land grab. But when they came here, they saw their mission to civilise and Christianise Ireland, the barbaric Irish, and the idea, you know, all the Irish lords lived in these tower houses and castles, and they were very, very rough, and they just threw meat on the floor and that kind of thing. These people then said, let's civilise Ireland. So they thought they were on a great mission. The Irish didn't buy into it, so the Irish stayed much the way
there's
they were.
A surprise.
So let's go on to the next place.
All right, John, we're still
puffing
strolling.
Away. Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad. But we're coming around the corner here. You know, where's the Pyramid of Tipperary?
I don't know. The Pyramid
of
Tipperary.
Tipperary? You mean you don't know of the Pyramid of Tipperary? You know the pyramids of Egypt?
I know a few pharaohs around Tipperary.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, we're so... Watch out. Here we come around the corner. Ta-da! There we are.
A pyramid.
A pyramid.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And the very same as the one down there. It's a burial pyramid as well. That's what it was for. Burying very important people. And
that's
there you are.
Incredible. And was this part of this English obsession with Egypt?
Yeah, I say it would have an awful lot of it. It's always a question of standing out, and things go in and out of fashion. So there's no doubt the influence on that would have been the pyramids of Egypt, of course.
Yes.
It was a little bit smaller than those, but it's still fantastic, isn't it?
Just a smidgen grandiose.
Yeah. It's even incredible. In dead time, you still notice me. Yeah. And, you know, the original Alexander Parkers, who are here, that was an early burial place for them. And that was their old church here. See, the new church was built across the way as well as that. And then when that church went into the clay, they built this, and there are supposed to be 7 members of the family interred right in there. Just like, of course, the kings of Egypt were interred in the pyramids in Egypt.
Incredible. How does one get into it?
You can't get into it. They're gone forever. I think what happened was, at one stage, there was a way into it. You see it here.
But
it was actually vandalised, so they just sealed it up. Well, these people, they're dead for hundreds and hundreds of years now. There isn't very much left there, so they just sealed it up because it was being vandalised.
But they built it right beside the remains...
Of a church, yes. And then they built a new church across the way. That was the old church, the original church here. Fantastic, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible.
You know, they were so ingenious, these English people who came to Ireland. And they were so... Kind of all their buildings and everything else and all their houses were about, notice me, I stand out here, and there you are.
Even in death...
Yeah, even in debt, you need to pay attention to them. Well, Lenny Meadoraig.
But you're certainly coming up with them today. What in the name of God is that?
Yeah, a little stone house in the middle of a field, yeah. I suppose I'm not too sure at all. I don't know. What do you think it is?
It looks like a place that a monk might go to reflect.
Yeah, some people have thought that. It's a scriptorium that people would have written there, gone to write. Now, the Sessions weren't the greatest writers. I mean, it was the earlier Irish monks, so it could have been possible that it was that. It could also have been a place where they disposed of the ashes from the monastery and kept things warm there as well as that. But if we go inside and we just come up here, and we're lucky there, the cattle aren't in the field at the moment, so we're grand. And we come in and we look up. What do we see up there?
Oh, wow, we see light.
We see light, a hole in the roof. So that now, I'm not an archaeologist, but most of them would think that that seems to give the game away, and that really what you're talking about here is a dovecote. The birds would come in and out there, you know?
Okay.
That's where they would have kept the pigeons. Now, supposedly, while they were homing pigeons, they were sending messages to Holy Cross or whatever. Not true. What they would have been doing here is they would simply have kept the birds, both for their eggs and for their meat as well as that. They would have stewed them up in the refectory of the abbey. But so, you remember in those days too, it was a different world. You were always just one bad harvest away from starvation. You know, it was a continual battle to stay alive, so everything was used up. And we'll talk about that later on. There was fish ponds near the abbey as well as that. Everything had to be used because your corn could fail one year, so you had to have something else to survive on.
What a piece of building.
Isn't it brilliant, though? Isn't how they do it? You know, it was fantastic.
And is this any way related to the beehive huts, like on Skellig or something like that? Is way newer than that, isn't it?
It's not way newer than that, but it is a good bit newer than that. Yeah. It might have been influenced by it, but remember, most of the Cistercian architecture really was brought in from the continent. It's a Gothic architectural style brought in from the continent. But, you know, not saying that they, you know, there's some residences of Cormac's Chapel and that on it as well. And of course, it was built in the same way, because apart from the whole area, it obviously has a stone roof, the same as Cormac's Chapel, the same as Galeras Oratory down in Kerry.
Incredible.
Isn't it? Just all these things to discover.
Yeah. So here we are, John. We're at the Abbey itself, and already very impressive. But is that gate open?
I'll be able to get you in there. Okay. I didn't tell anyone you were coming. Other than that, it would be locked, obviously. You know. So there we are. There we are. I can get you in.
Wow.
There you are. Now, so there we are. We're inside the Cistercian Abbey. And actually, that gate there, there was a thing that, a rumour out that the Abbey was actually closed to access. But that's untrue. The reason was, actually, it was closed for a while because there was actually cattle in the field and they were going in doing damage in the Abbey. Okay. So maybe at some stage you'll have to replace that with a swing gate. But that the noise coming in here is really, it seems to go into another world, isn't it? The screech of that gate.
Now, you say it's rather austere, but there's some beautiful aspects to it, isn't there?
Isn't there? Absolutely. And what we're looking at there, looking into the sarcus here, and you can see the great ornamentation over the doorway as well as that. And some suggest that was actually a private church of the Butler family. And, of course, the Butlers, well, it was originally, the land was granted here in 1182 by Donal Moore O'Brien. And he was also the guy who defeated the Normans at Turles and also endowed Holy Cross Abbey as well. So it's a sister house of Holy Cross Abbey, but a daughter house of Jerpoint, if you get the difference. Okay. The monks came from Jerpoint. Do you remember we were in Cashel and we said all the abbeys here, the church is always on the north side, and then the window faces what direction?
I guess it faces east.
Yeah, and faces east, and that is towards Jerusalem. Right. So there we are. Now, if you look at it here, it's actually, we see the great house, the house there. But that is the way they all were. Church on the north side, and again, with the one big exception, of course, in your own Cashel, which is
Hoare Abbey.
Yeah. It was, I don't know, for some reason it faces the rock there, you know. But you can see then, and this is one of an ornate tomb, and it's a Piers Butler, one of the Butler family. And you can see he was obviously important because the amount of ornamentation that was there.
It's just wonderfully done, isn't it?
And there's the dog. Bearing his teeth there.
At his feet.
At his feet. That was quite common. Yes. And the sculptors had to put that in as well as that. 1526. So the abbey was still there, and that was, of course, before the dissolution of the monasteries. But the abbey would have gone on probably for another 100 years. All that happened, Henry wanted to do was grab the land and the wealth. He didn't care about the monks, they could stay around. It was another 100 years that really finished monasticism in Ireland, because Cromwell came in and... Henry taught himself as a Catholic. Cromwell did not. In fact, you could say he hated Catholics, and that was the end of them. But up to that, in a lot of these abbeys like Holy Cross, the monks stayed on until the Cromwellian period, but they were much, much poorer, of course.
Well, we've just come out of the abbey, John, and we're looking at a most gorgeous house, but it's in disrepair.
Yeah, would you like to live there?
You see, you know, I'm destined to live in a place like this.
To the manor born.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I thought I was to the manor born as well as that. But I've given up on it at this stage. Yeah.
I think me too.
They look beautiful, don't they? Did you ever hear this, like, you know, did you ever hear about an elephant? Nice to look at, but you wouldn't really want to own one.
Yes. I can imagine trying to heat something like that.
Yeah, and to maintain it. I mean, just the cost of it. And unfortunately, so this is it's a Palladian mansion. And you see, if you look up there, what do you see? You see great wings, don't you, spreading out. And you see a very formal lines on the exterior. Mm. And that's from Palladio, and he was a Venetian architect, and he drew on the ancient Greek and Roman temples. So you see a lot of the triangular roofs and that of those temples as well as that. But this is a great. So it was originally the Barker family. The Alexander family came in here initially. Then they had no male heirs, so it moved to the Barkers. And then eventually the Barkers had no male heirs, so it moved to be the Barker Ponsonbys, and eventually it being the Ponsonbys, but they moved out of it about 2004. So it's now owned by another person since then, and the place isn't really, it has deteriorated an awful lot. So there's a lot of investment required there, I suppose, if we are to keep that building alive. It is actually, it is a listed building, and it is a preserved structure, but at the moment it's very sad deterioration, and you can't see here from this side, but on the other side there's even greater deterioration.
Of course, inside these houses was complete opposite to the outside to them, because they were very ornate, weren't they? Very grandiose.
That was the whole idea of the Palladian thing, that it was this, like the Greek and Roman temples, very austere, but it would strike you as well as that the second you saw it. But then when you go in, it would be very ornate. And of course, then we mentioned Capability Brown, and now we can see it from here. But on the other side, then Capability Brown Garden always had a lake. And they actually have, so it's a great sweep down to the lake there, and you would have these sunken walls then, which would stop the livestock coming in. But when you look down from the house, you would just see the parkland. You wouldn't see any fences, anything like that. And there's even a great a Gothic boathouse there as well as that. So it's a wonderful mansion. You know, it might have been, you know, something that would have made a wonderful hotel or something like that. So, you know, we just hope maybe it can be saved. But it's not unusual. There's a lot of, you know, houses around Tipperary and around Ireland that are in the same condition.
Well, I'm off to my Palladian bungalow in Anacarty.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, and I'm back to my townhouse in Turles. There we are. There's our dreams absolutely shattered. But if we ever come in 10 million, we'll buy some place like that.
You never know. Oh, dreams, dreams, dreams. There's the great John G. O'Dowar and our visit to Kilcooley Abbey. And again, it was the most beautiful day as well. Terrific. We'll have another Walks and Talks for you next Monday as well. 1800 938 007. Now, I was asked to mention to you, hang on till I find this, that there's a fundraiser happening tonight in Bursacane at 7:30 in the sports grounds there. And Amanda O'Farrell of Ignite Fitness is holding a fun fitness class in aid of the Irish Cancer Society, and there's lots of goodies to give away on the night as well. So on the 7:30 sports grounds in Bursacane tonight is where you should be. Just to mention to you about John G. O'Dowar, that his latest book is titled Wild Stories from the Irish Uplands, and it is available in local bookshops and also from corrockbooks.com.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.